Be back next week with more books, writing, and literary culture. See you then.
Screech time. Good morning, this is 2SER 107.3 and you are tuned into the Vulture's Nest, an irreverent retrospective of the news and culture of the week. I'm Sean Morahan, and joining me in the nest this morning is Tadina Taite.
Yeah, it's a very wide-open nest this morning.
It is. Plenty of Sydney cool air moving through the nest this morning.
There is. Just me and you, Sean, me and you. I love it.
Yeah. It's been an interesting week in the news. Scotland beat England at cricket without any noticeable use of sandpaper.
And I missed this one. I'm so embarrassed as a sports correspondent. I missed this one. Oops, so did the rest of the world probably.
The sport world has been sort of overrun with news of other things.
Oh, really? What could it be? What could it be? I wonder.
Take a kick. Well, Trump and Kim Jong-un did whatever it was they were doing this week.
Oh, they should. I love the fact that Trump, he must have been briefed so hard. Can you imagine the person's job it was to sit there and say, do not try to outshake this man's hand. Mm. Like, don't do your usual. Who had to, like, get into his head and try and get that into his mind? I have no idea. I must say I'm pretty disappointed about his positive feedback about his leadership abilities. It's horrendous. I couldn't even watch it, actually.
And that story is probably a little bit too obvious for us to cover today.
Yes.
Brisbane have also announced plans to impose a 6 km/h speed limit on mobility scooters.
As they should. I've seen some of those mobility scooter riders bearing down on me and giving me the beep beep to get out of the way.
As I'm advancing in years, I can also understand the desire for some people to move to warmer climates. So I think Queensland's overrepresented as sort of the retirement capital of Australia, capital state of Australia.
Yep.
And Brisbane probably accounts for more than its fair share of that. So there's probably more people on mobility scooters per capita, per square kilometre, than maybe another.
Like, have you not seen people that ride them on the road?
Yeah. On the road, on the pavement.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah. It's they're ruling to themselves.
Up the walls.
So
that's three stories we're not going to talk about on the Vulture's Nest.
Okay, all right.
What we are going to talk about is political correctness.
Mm.
Is it going mad again? So it was in the news this week. In New South Wales University, so Charles Sturt University at Wagga Wagga, have allegedly caused a bit of controversy as some of the students there held a party. Have you ever been to a costume party too?
Yes. I'm a big fan of a costume party.
Okay.
I might dress up by myself on occasions for no reason whatsoever.
And university students probably don't surprise us too much by A, having a party, or B, having a costume party. This party, however, had a theme, as all the costume parties do, and the theme was politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the theme of something. I think it was the theme of my friend's 21st birthday, and two guys turned up as, things that were past the millennia or something like that. Anyway, two guys turned up as the Twin Towers buildings, and they had little Lego men hanging off as well. It was bad.
They say it's all about timing.
It was a little bit early. I think it was a bad taste party. That's what it was, a bad taste party.
Okay. Mm. Did you know that they used to have those in the AFL?
No.
Yeah, it was a big thing in the... I don't know if now...
Is this a joke or...?
No,
I feel like this is leading up to a joke.
No, I remember even there was an AFL publication I bought, and it was like an AFL annual.
Yep.
And as well as reporting all the year's statistics and things from all the games, they also had little magazine articles and things like that, and odd photos. And one of them was I think a guy called Peter Bezusto, who used to play for Carlton,
mm-hmm.
and he was attending the end of year Mad Monday celebrations for Carlton,
mm.
and he was dressed in a Collingwood jersey,
as you should.
and the the theme was bad taste.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Nailed it.
And in the caption for the photo, it said that was the thing with a lot of the AFL clubs. They had bad taste parties.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
For their Mad Monday.
Yep.
And most of the players would just come in an opponent.
I think that's perfect.
Well, these uni students are in trouble for having taken it a bit further, maybe a little bit crazy.
Well, they went millennial and called it political incorrectness, so that's next level.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them dressed as Ku Klux Klan members. Mm-hmm. One went in blackface.
That's not a good mix. It's all just a bad mix.
So, is this political correctness gone mad, criticising this?
I don't know. I do, yes and no. I do understand, I think, why they did it. And I think I said this to you, I was going to say this to you earlier. I think we have gone so strict with our political correctness, and I think maybe it was just, I feel like there will be a shift, and I think it's happening a little bit in comedy as well. Comedy, we've had this kind of millennial hipster kind of introverted comedian be popular for a while now, and then the shift is now moving to what they call bro comics, and where they're a little bit more inappropriate, say the jokes are a little lowbrow, maybe you could call them that. So I feel like this is going to be a world switch. We've gone so fast, especially after the Me Too movement, that we're going to go all the way back to the way where there will be this kind of, and it's the same with the right kind of right wing anti-fascist, well, the fascist kind of comeback. This is going to be the response to so much repression. I think not why they did it. They were probably just trying to have a good time and just let loose. But I think there's going to be this kind of pushback from the repression.
Okay. Actions speak louder than words, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say that the KKK and blackface and Nazism are all politically incorrect, but these people are prepared to demonstrate it through their actions. Do you think there's any merit in that?
So they're saying they're actually supporting it by saying that it's bad because they're dressing up like it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm
you know that I know that you know that I know that you know.
Okay. Do you think it's bad?
Do I think it's bad? It's funny. The blackface thing, and there's actually a really good, The Daily Show has correspondent explains why blackface is really, really offensive, because it was done back in the day. By early on in the Hollywood era, that golden Hollywood era, that was quite a common thing to have someone dress up in blackface, and it was done in a quite detrimental way.
Yeah.
So I understand that it's quite offensive, and so I do think it's bad for that reason, because it's really offensive.
So should it be called an offensive fancy dress party? Would that make it different?
I think if you said it's offensive fancy dress party, yeah. Because you know, it's like when you come to the comedy, it's at your own risk. You probably are going to be offended by somebody.
Right.
So you know, you're walking in the door, that's what you're buying into.
So do you think by calling it politically incorrect, putting the label politically incorrect on the party, it's not necessarily condemning these things enough?
No, I don't think so. So you can have bad taste parties where you turn up in a jersey, politically incorrect where you maybe dress up like Malcolm or Tony Abbott eating an onion, and then and then it's like offensive party when you turn up in those kind of get-ups.
Yeah.
And then that way the place is like, as it said in the article, the pub was saying, we didn't know this was happening, because when they got quite a bit of negative backlash.
Yeah.
So they can go, well, if you can say it's an offensive party, well, no, we're not going to let you have that party here.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Then they can, do.
Okay. Another story that was in the news that we wanted to just touch on briefly today, because we both work in comedy, was the story of Eurydice Dixon in Melbourne, who allegedly raped and murdered this week. Mm. And it's justifiably been given a lot of coverage in the news. You didn't see Lisa Wilkinson's statement on the project?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It was very emotional, and she sort of raised the issue that, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And as a woman, that men attack men, and it's called a coward punch, and, you know, it's just reported as run-of-the-mill news. But nobody asks the man who gets punched, what were you doing out there at that time of night? Why didn't you have your
absolutely.
Phone on you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
How were you dressed? How were you walking? Were you by yourself? You know,
why were you by yourself?
Yeah.
What were you doing walking at late that night? Yeah, absolutely.
And yet those questions seem to automatically be asked when there's violence perpetrated in public against a woman.
Yeah, this has been a feel of, why? And even I was like, why were you in the park alone? And I, and she has every right to be doing that.
Yeah.
But as a woman, I try not to take those kind of risks. And also, and we've talked about it before, you know, my sister was a victim of sexual assault, and I'm even more careful. And I was saying to you before the other night, and here's my take on it, which is a little bit different to kind of turning around and pointing fingers at somebody. The reality is, as women, our fight or flight gauge is just turned up that much higher than probably the average man.
Yeah.
And you need to take precautions. That's for now, that's the reality. Hopefully one day there'll be a time when that's not the case anymore. But I want to encourage women who just have a little... women often have that little inkling in the back of their head, oh, something's not quite right, but if I run now, I'm going to look silly. If I call out to someone, I'm going to look like an idiot. If I do this, this is going to upset this person, and they're going to. So the other night I was walking home, this gentleman was behaving weirdly. He was kind of calling out to me, but it wasn't directly at me. I was close to my home, but I was injured from footy. So I was like, I just can't get up those stairs quick enough. It's not right. So I took a wider street. He then popped out behind me, not too far. Once I'd gone around the corner, I was like, okay, this is getting really weird. So instead of going home, and I knew I just wasn't quite safe enough to get there, I went into the pub for 15 minutes and I said, sorry guys, I'm hanging out. I think there's something wrong with this guy following me. I knew I could look silly. I knew they could laugh at me, but I just had to go gut instinct and just go stuff it. What's 15 minutes and looking stupid of my time? The alternative is final. The alternative is final.
Yeah.
There's no going back from that. So I encourage women strongly, for now, while we still have to deal with this, just go with your gut instinct. You think something's not right, and you don't. Who cares if you look stupid? Rather stupid than not safe. You know. Yeah.
Yep. Fair enough.
So I've taken that one.
You are listening to 2SER 107.3. We're discussing some other stories from the news this week, and between now and then, we are going to listen to Scalpel. This is Surround.
Open Inner West Festival is back.
Celebrate 69 cultures over 10 days.
Get in touch with your cultural roots or explore communities who live here.
Book into free or low-cost workshops and events celebrating culture.
From biryani and babes, an evening of South Asian cuisine and drag,
to hip-hop, art, film, live music, football, cooking classes, and Sydney's largest Peruvian, Indonesian, Balkan and Brazilian festivals.
Festival kicks off June 15.
For program details, go to innerwest.nsw.gov.au/openinnerwest.
To SER sponsors.
In a society inundated with technology, one podcast will set out to document the weird, the wonderful and mind-boggling stories of the digital age. Think. Digital Futures.
Finding the human in the machine. Tune in 6:30 p.m. Tuesdays or 10:30 a.m. Sundays.
Brought to you by the University of Technology Sydney and 2SER 107.3.
You are on 2SER 107.3. This is the Vulture's Nest. Earlier in the show, we were talking about a few stories that were in the news this week. Another one that's caught our eye was cane toad sausages. Have you heard about this too?
Only from you, Sean.
So you even asked me a little bit about the background of it.
Yes,
so the sugar cane has been a big industry in northern Australia, mm-hmm. particularly in Queensland. Mm-hmm. And there was a beetle that was attacking the sugar cane. So it was a common pest with the sugar cane crops. Mm-hmm. And so Australians decided to import a cane toad to eat the beetles.
Oh, is the cane toad originally, is it from England or somewhere else?
I think it's from South America. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, that would
sure.
be correct. Yep.
But
there's a great Simpsons episode where they lick them and they go all crazy and they have like epiphanies. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I do. Yeah. It was like a good Simpsons reference.
I thought you might.
So the cane toads have been spreading. In fact, I think there was a movie, he died with a falafel in his hand. Have you seen that movie?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that they address the cane toad problem in a fairly unique way involving golf clubs.
Oh, poor cane toads. Especially when you hear the story.
Yeah. Okay, well, I won't dress as a cane toad to go to a bad taste party.
Because that's a really good one. It's a double. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, oh, yes.
It's actually
right.
really good.
Oh. Look at that ad lib on the show today. One of the ways that it's been addressed, there have been a lot of different solutions try to be employed to reduce the cane toad problem. And, well, numerous problems. And one of the big problems is that native animals are, out of curiosity, often going up and trying to eat or lick the cane toads and then being poisoned.
They should just have a little trap like they did on The Simpsons. It's not fair, cane toads. Come on.
Well, apparently, the cane toads are pretty resilient. So what scientists have done now is they've made sausages out of cane toads. And they've scattered them from helicopters across about every 100 metres over a property as a test to see if it will repel, like teach northern quolls, mm-hmm. that the taste and the smell is repulsive. They've taken the toxin out of the sausages.
Mm. This is amazing that they've been able to do that, though, but I hate to think of the consistency of the sausages, though.
Yeah, no sausages for breakfast today.
No.
So I guess one of the questions I've had for you is, before today, were you a sausage eater?
Yeah, I love a good sausage. I know you do, Sean.
That's right. Yep.
And there was how many at the footy game?
Is there anything that you would like to put out to repel? So this is out there to teach people, you know, to teach animals to be repelled by.
Well, I'm allergic to mosquito bites, so I would love the repellent, and even the odourless repellent is horrendous. So if someone could design something that smells nice and moisturises at the same time and repels mosquitoes, I would be very happy.
Fantastic. Yeah. Have you ever seen a cane toad?
Yes, I was living in Brisbane, and I didn't really understand the concept except for the girl at the house was like, oh, don't let the cat out, because they'd moved up from Victoria, and she's like, oh, the cat will get lick the cane toad. I had no idea, I didn't understand. I was like, you're kidding. She's like, no, it'll die.
Okay. Do you have any similar problems in New Zealand?
We have possums, not cane. Possums came over, mm-hmm. and our possums are
what, from Australia?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, one going back.
Yeah. one in, one out, you know. But our possums are not like your possums. Our possums are not cute little ringtail ones. They are vicious.
Aggro ones.
Aggro ones. And they destroy our wildlife. So, yeah, that's probably our biggest, because, as you know, we don't have any predators in New Zealand. We've got just birds, really.
Yeah.
Birds. We used to have a mower. Ever heard of a mower?
I have heard of a mower.
Yeah, I mean, they were huge.
I used to use one to mow my lawn.
Get out of here. But no, we don't, yeah.
Do you know, in New Zealand, is there anything being done systematically to try and reduce the possum problem?
I don't think Australians would like to hear it. But just bear in mind, they're not the same as your possums. They are vicious. We had cute little ringtail possums. I don't think we'd be Well, I can't wait till my hat with the possum fur turns up, though. It's coming from New Zealand.
No worries. We've got one more story we'd like to share this morning. A little bit of a feel-good story, and although it's got some interesting aspects to it that may even question our behaviour in our own workplaces. Have you ever spent any of your own money to improve something in your own workplace?
I brought a dummies for Access, Microsoft Access book, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't really use it, though.
Put it under your computer monitor to get it to the right height.
That's exactly right.
Okay. The reason I asked...
Access for Dummies. That's right. I forgot the Access for Dummies.
Very good.
Yep.
The reason I ask is the story we'd like to finish on today is been reported in ABC News this week. A teacher has invested $10,000 of her own money for a companion dog. She teaches special needs students, and she saw it as being potentially a great asset to have a companion dog there to help with education. So she spent 10 grand of her own money to buy the dog. Has further trained the dog. It's a
Saint Bernard.
It's a Saint Bernard.
It's gorgeous.
Yep. This is in Broome in northwestern Western Australia. Amina Rand is the teacher. So she thought about it and dreamed about it for a long time. Obviously, the cost was a major challenge, particularly on a school teacher's salary.
Yeah, yeah.
She looked at the initial cost, and it was about $25,000 for a fully trained dog. So she got a partly trained dog and did the rest of the training herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she's found that not only does having the dog there help the students stay a lot calmer, and she said it creates a much better working environment.
She said it can sometimes sense when one of them is sick as well, which is unbelievable when they can't express it for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said even for her other colleagues, so not just, you know, the kids in her class, but other colleagues in the student in the school, so other students and teachers, she said just when they see the dog, they just seem so much more relaxed and happy and friendly. And she just says it creates a much better learning environment for everybody.
And the integration, how the kids can then use it to integrate with other people who don't have special needs. And because, of course, everyone wants to go over and pat a dog. So it starts a conversation.
Well, dog people do, yeah.
Yeah, of course. If you're allergic to dogs, you don't.
Big shout out to any of our cat people listeners.
Hey, I love a good cat. I love a cat.
Yeah.
I'm a cat person too. No, it's amazing. It's actually not, like, for this kind of amount of money, that's unusual. But actually, having done a little bit of teaching myself, it's not unusual that you start putting in your own money to get things. But I think this is above and beyond. It's absolutely amazing.
Actually, I hadn't planned it for this story, but my dad was a teacher.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he often used to spend his own money to get resources for kids.
You just do. You kind of go, oh, look, I'm going to do it. So shout out to our teachers who do this, because most teachers will actually put a little bit of their, not only their own time, but their own money into things for the class. Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about the Access for Dummies book.
Everyone's going, who still uses Access anymore? I'm like, it was a few years ago. Leave me alone. not so many, though, that it's justifiable.
Is there anything else that you have invested in yourself for your own
I haven't, work? Yeah. I'm kind of lucky in the situation now where we're being provided with things that we need.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But
Do you think most people invest in their own ability to do their job well, or do they expect their employer to cough up?
For the most part, I think you expect your employer to do so. And I think that's kind of especially here in Australia, that's kind of almost an expected kind of part of work. I'm not sure what it's like in other countries. I don't think so. I think Australia's a bit lucky like that.
If you're in a competitive work environment, do you think that you can get a competitive advantage by investing your own money to improve your skills? And
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Or buy something else?
Well, I think if you were in something like media, which is, can be quite competitive, I think putting your own resources in and doing your own courses and things like that is always going to be an advantage. So,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
What about cakes?
What about cakes? Have you got one?
Bring cakes into work.
Oh, bribing people.
Is that what it's called?
I'm sorry. Sharing, encouraging work productivity. Is that what? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm just guessing here, but you strike me as the sort of person who would bring a cake into work every now and then.
I bring these really nice chocolate biscuits to work whenever.
A big shout out to Jess Playman as well from 2SER,
oh, yeah,
who brings all sorts of goodies in for us.
She's very good like that.
Yeah. Is Jess improving her promotion prospects in a competitive environment here at 2SER?
Oh, well, I mean, yes, I think she might be. She might just be. I have yet to see Sophie from So Hot Right Now bring anything in for us. She looks scandalous right now. Hang on. She can't respond.
No, that's all right. Shall I have...
All right. Okay.
With all that heat in So Hot Right Now, you think that baking would be just a natural byproduct of that environment? Okay, we've been told. It's our turn to bring something in next week.
Okay,
to Sophie.
Okay, all right, Sophie. Okay.
You've been in the Vulture's Nest today with me, Sean Morahan, and my guest, Tarina Tote.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
Thank you, T. Listening to us, if you want to make a difference without having to invest $10,000 in a support dog, you can support 2SER. Visit 2ser.com/donate and you can work some magic. Donations over $2 are tax deductible, which is always handy at this time of the financial year. If you're wanting warmth and wit, well, just wait as Sophie Lai presents very shortly So Hot Right Now with the best of arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative right here on 2SER 107.3. As Sophie again diligently chases every cubic centimetre of cold out of the studio, let's prepare for the snug sounds of her program by indulging in some music from You Beauty. This is Anne Marie. You're on 2SER 107.3, Stories, Ideas, Music.
You're never going alone again, Anne Marie. Sent me cause I had chuff in my pee. Caught your big green eyes, I couldn't believe someone so pretty staring back at me. Your baby voice joyous, me hear mushroom ear, but I can tell you want me. Now you're not going alone again, Anne Marie. And now that I've found you, you're never going. Sent a card to see, would you watch me play? Could you get ready? High up in the stands, in the VIP, I saw you like an angel. My heart skipped a beat. The jiggers had given some flowers to me, white flowers in ribbons next to the trophy. I told the water boy to bring them to you. I winked when he whispered, whispered from who? I mean it when I say I want you for good. These others mean nothing now that I've found you up there, Anne Marie. Say
together from now.